Perek Hey, Mishnah Vav. This Mishnah is the last of the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos that deal with the number 10. Asara Dvarim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. On the first Erev Shabbos, at the end of the Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, when Hashem is completing the entire Bria, in the last moments, right before Shabbos, in that twilight period between the 6 days of creation and Shabbos Kodesh, 10 things were created at that moment. The Eluhain, and these are the 10 things. The first one is Pi Ha'aretz, when the ground opened up to swallow Korach V'Adosai, that was already created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos of Sheshes Yimei Bereshis. The second one is Pi Haber, that Klal Yisrael was able to take water from the moving Be'er in the Midbar. This Be'er was given to Klal Yisrael in the merit in the Schus of Miriam, and it accompanied Klal Yisrael in all its journeys through the Midbar. The third item that was created, Bein Hashmashos of Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, was Pi Ha'asen, the mouth of the donkey, of Bilam's donkey, that it was commanded on that donkey, Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, that it would speak with Bilam. The fourth one that was created is Vakeshes, the rainbow, in an onan, in a cloud, La'os Bris, as a sign that there would never again, as it says in Bereshis, Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Gimel, Shalayiyah Oid Mabel, there would never again be a Mabel that Hashem would bring on the world. The fifth item was Vahamon, the mon that fell for Klal Yisrael for 40 years in the Midbar. The sixth one, Vahamata, and the stick of Moshe with which he did the signs to Paroi. And the Makos, Vahashamir, there was a special worm which was used in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash in order to cut through stone, because an instrument was not allowed to be used, and also it was used to make lettering in the stones of the Choshen and in the Ephod. The Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis tells us that Havanim Halol, these stones of the Choshen and the Ephod, ain't kosu nosom b'jo. You do not write on them with ink, because the pasuk says pituchei chosam. They have to be engraved. But on the other hand, you're not allowed to use an instrument, an ismol, because the pasuk also says bimilu oisam. They have to be complete. There can't be anything missing. And if you're going to use an instrument, you're going to cause something to be missing from the stones of the choshen and the ephod. But rather, what was the method? They used to write on the avonim with dio, with ink, and then they used to put the shamir on that written letter, and the shamir, by just seeing the letters on the avonim, the shamir would cause that there would be an indentation, but yet it would not cause any loss to the stone. They would remain b'milu oisam. The eighth miracle was v'haksav, the letters which were engraved on the luchos, as the Bar Tanura tells us. V'hamichtav is number 9, as the pasuk in Shmoyis Perek Lamed Beis pasuk Tezayin states, v'hamichtav michtav elikimhu. Chorus al haluchos, it was engraved on the luchos. The Bar Tanura explains that this was a special writing of Hashem that could be seen from 4 different directions. According to the Rambam, diksav refers to the Torah, which was written in front of Hashem, and vahamichtav refers to the writing on the luchos. And the 10th item that was created, Bein Hashmashos, during Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, was Luchos HaRishonim, the first Luchos, as the Pasuk in Shmos Lamed Beis Tazayin says, V'aluchos Mas Elikim Hema, they were made by Hashem. However, the Luchos, which, the second Luchos, There, the pasuk in Shmos Lamed Dalet Aleph says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, psal lecha shneichel luchos avarim kerushanim." You should engrave the second luchos and make them like the first, which I made. And in Avos Rav Nosson, Perek Beis, it states, "Melamed shaluchos hayuksuvim umunachim misheishes yemei bereishis." As we find the pasuk stating that the luchos were made by Hashem, when were they made? They were made in the Bein HaShemashes of Sheish Yemei Bereishis, and then they remained until Moshe received them on Har Sinai. The Mishnah continues and tells us four other items that could have been made during Bein HaShemashes of the Sheish Yemei Bereishis. V'yesh Oymrim Af HaMazikim. All the demons, the Shadim, were created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashes. Kvurasei Shel Moshe, where Moshe was buried, as the Pasuk states in Dvorim Lamed Dalet Vav, V'lo Yada Ishes Kvurasei, no one knew where Moshe is buried. It was a physical grave, but yet it had spirituality to it. It was something spiritual. No one knew where this physical grave exactly was. Another item that the Yesharim say happened Bein HaShemashes on Sheish Yemei Bereishis, V'eloi Shel Avram Avinu, that ram that it was nigzar on the ram Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashes, that it should have its horns get caught in the tall growing grass, and then it was brought as a substitute for Yitzchak at the Akedah. And finally, V'yesharim, and some say, Af tzvas b'tzvas asuya, that tongs are made with other tongs. In other words, in order to make a metal instrument, or in the case of tongs, you have to hold those tongs with other tongs in fire until the metal becomes white, and then you beat out the metal and form it into tongs. Now, the question is, who created the first tongs that subsequently was able to be used to create other tongs? How was the first tongue created? The answer is the first tongue was created during Sheish Yemei Bereishis. That tongue was then used for all other tongues. I heard a beautiful shiur many years ago from the Mashgiach at that time of Mesifta Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin, Harava Goyen Rav Shloima Karbach Shlita, and time does not allow us to say the whole mimer, but Bekitzer, he pointed out that Kvurasei Shel Moshe, everything that had to do with the Kever of Moshe, was a transition between Kodesh and Chol. We know that there are three concepts: Olam Shana Nefesh, which means Olam is Makom, the place, the world. Shana is Man, time, year. And Nefesh is the soul of a human. Everything connected with Moshe in these three regards was a Gesher Kesher. It was a bridge and a knot between holy and mundane, between Kodesh and Chol. Let us begin with the place. Moshe was buried not in Eretz Yisrael, but in Eivor HaYarden. Eivor HaYarden, the land on the other side of the Jordan, that it's not totally Eretz Yisrael, doesn't have the Kedush of Eretz Yisrael, even though some of the Shufatim lived there, but neither is it totally Chutz Lartz. Chutz Lartz, the Rosh HaTavis of Chutz Lartz, is Ches Vav Lamed. That's Chol, that's secular. Which ground, which geography, which area of the world connects the holiness of Eretz Yisrael with the secularism of the rest of the world? That is Eivor HaYarden. So Moshe, as far as Olam, meaning Makom, the place, he's buried in a place that serves as a bridge between Kodesh and Chol. Shana refers to Zman, time. What time was the Kever of Moshe created? That's our Mishnah here. It was created at Bein HaShemashes of Sheish Yemei Bereishis. That is a moment. Some shitas are of the opinion that Banish Mash is keherifying. It's like the blink of an eye. It's time, but it's not time. It's such a minute segment of time that it's almost non-existent, a blink of an eye. That moment is a gesher kesher again. It's a bridge and a union, a knotting between the chol, the secular aspect of time in the Sheshes Shmei Bereishis, and the Kedusha, the holiness of Shabbos. What part, what segment of time unites the chol of Sheshes Shmei Bereishis with the Kodesh of Shabbos? That's Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. That split second is the connection. So here we have the place where Moshe was buried was a connection between Chol and Kodesh. The time that Moshe was buried was a connection between Chol and Kodesh. And Moshe himself, Olam, Makom, Shana, Zman, Nefesh, that's the Adam, the person himself, Moshe Rabbeinu, he himself is Ish Ho'elikim, as Chazal tell us, Michetzio Lamata Ish, from his waist down, he was like a normal human being. Umichetzeh lamala elikim. And from his waist up, he was like an angel, like a malach, like part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ish elikim. So Moshe in his person is also a transition. He is a gesher kesher. He's a bridge and a union between Chol and Kodesh. So everything connected with Moshe Rabbeinu, the place where he was buried, the time that he was buried, Moshe's body itself is all a connection between Kodesh and Chol. This is the essence of a beautiful mimer that I was zocheh to hear from Hagoyin Rav Shlomo Karlbach Shlita. Perek Hei, Mishneh Zayin. The Mishnah is Mishneh Zayin, and beginning with this Mishnah, for the next three Mishnayos, we will be discussing items that have to do with the numerical value of Zayin, which is Shiva. Begins the Mishnah, Shiva Dvorim Begolem, V'Shiva Bechacham. There are seven things connected to a Golem, and seven to a Chacham. The Meiri and the Rambam tell us that before a person becomes a chacham, he goes through various stages, which are called bur, reik, amoretz, and finally the highest level before he becomes a chacham is golem. So our Mishnah is comparing the highest level under a chacham. He's not yet a chacham, but he has managed to become a golem. And the Miri explains, what is a golem? A golem is someone who has acquired much knowledge. He's acquired some good character traits, some good midos, but he doesn't have it all together in a clear fashion. Everything within him is in an ervuvia. It's mixed up. He has not perfected himself in his midos or in his learning. And therefore, he's called a golem, just as when one creates a beautiful vessel, first he makes the shape out of whatever material he's making the vessel from, and then he paints the vessel and makes it beautiful. So the golem is before the beauty. He has been able to create a vessel, but it's not a beautiful vessel. He's missing that final touch of being a chacham. And the difference between a golem and a chacham is discussed in our Mishnah. The Tosfos Yontif explains that although we start first with the golem, Shiva Dvorim Begolem, and then we go to a Shiva Bechacham, when it comes to explaining the difference between golem and chacham, we begin with the good midos of a chacham. We're starting the Mishnah with Golem because that is the transition. A person gets greater and greater. He goes from Bur to Reik to Amoretz and finally to Golem. And then eventually to become a Chacham. So the in time, the correct first is Golem. However, when it comes to explaining the midos, there we start not with the midos of the golem, but rather we start with the beautiful midos of the chacham. Ha-chacham eino medaber b'fnei mi shu gadol mimenu b'chachma. First of all, a chacham does not speak in front of someone who is greater than him in wisdom. Number two, ve'eino nichnas l'toch divrei chaveri. He does not interrupt the words of his friend when his friend is speaking, but rather he patiently listens to what his friend has to say. The third mile of the Chacham is the Einai Nivel LaHashiv. When his friend has finished speaking and it's his turn to speak, he doesn't abruptly and quickly fly off with the first thing that comes to his mind, but rather he digests what his friend has said. He thinks about it in order to give the correct response to his friend. The fourth inyan of a chacham is shoyel ke'inyan umeshiv kehalacha. He asks what is proper. The Bartanura explains that if he's learning from a Rebbe, he doesn't ask the Rebbe a question from another mesechta. He asks the Rebbe a question from the mesechta that he is presently learning. As Reb Chiya said to Rav, when Rebbe is learning one mesechta, don't ask him another mesechta. We find this in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Gimel Amid Beis. Ki koi Rebbe behind mesechta, loisi shaloi b'mesechta achrita. And then the Gemara there concludes, ilav de gavra rabba have aminalach terutz de lav shapirta. If Rebbe was not a great man, he would have given you an answer that's not correct. So basically, a person should not ask someone who's not holding in the sugya. An interesting story happened to me with Goyin Rav Naftali Friedler Zitzal. I was visiting him in his home in Muncie with a younger Talmud, and the younger Ben Yeshiva was learning a Mesechta. Rav Friedler was not learning that Mesechta at the time. And the Rav Friedler asked him, what are you learning? And he responded, and he began to discuss the sugya with Rav Friedler. And Rav Friedler, although he had not been learning that sugya, was in the sugya as much as that yeshiva bacher, if not more. He knew the sugya inside out and was conversing with the yeshiva bacher in the sugya. When they completed their divrei Torah, their discussion, Rav Friedler said, you will wonder, I'm not in the Mesechta, how am I able to speak to you about it? Rebbe said, ki koi Rebbe behind Mesechta, lo yisishal b'mesechta chrita. If I'm in one Mesechta, don't speak to him in another Mesechta. Said Rav Friedler, that's only ki koi. If you're in one Mesechta and you're very deeply engrossed and involved in that one Mesechta, then you won't be able to answer in another Mesechta. In his humility, Rav Friedler said, but I'm not koi. I'm not so engrossed in the Mesechta I'm learning, and therefore I was able to discuss with you your Mesechta. The truth is, those who knew Rav Friedler knew that he was a person who was totally engrossed in his learning. And the real answer is, because Rav Friedler was a Gavra Rabba. The Gemara says, don't ask a Rebbe in another Mesechta if he's not holding there, unless, like Rebbe was a Gavra Rabba, he was able, even though he was engrossed in one Mesechta, he was able to respond to questions in another Mesechta. Rav Friedler was, in fact, the Gavra Rabba, but he told the Bacher, the reason that I was able to respond to your sugya that you're holding in is because I wasn't koi, I wasn't engrossed in the Mesechta that I am learning in. But we see from this whole discussion that there is an inyan for one to ask a Rebbe ke'inyan, ask the Rebbe in the Mesechta that he's holding, and umeshiv kalacha, respond properly, which the Meiri explains to mean that a chacham seeks the truth. He doesn't try to win the argument over his friend and stubbornly say things just not to accept the truth. He answers properly. If his friend has a point against what he has been saying, he'll accept it. The next madrega of a chacham is oimer al rishon rishon val achron achron. If his friend asks him a few questions, he will answer each question in order. And we learned this out from Rivka in Bereishis Perichov Dalad Pasachov Gimel, when Eliezer said to her two questions, Bas Miyat, who are you the daughter of? And Hayesh Beis Avicha Makom Lanu Lolan, does your father have place for us to live, sojourn in? So she answered first, Bas Besul Anoichi. That was your first question. This is the answer. I'm the daughter of Besul. And second question and answer is Gam Tevin, Gam Espoi, Ravi Monu, Gam Makom Lolan. Yes, we have food and we have a place for you all to dwell in. So we see that a Chacham answers in the order of the question. The next mila is Valmash Loishama Oimer Loishamati. Something that he didn't hear, he says, Demiri says he doesn't try to say his own svara in something, and he says that a great Rav said it in order that people should accept it, but rather he says, I really never heard anybody speak about this, but this is my own idea on this subject. One L'chora could ask that we do find in the Gemara that a person should say things, he should be toila be'ilin gadol. He should say that a great rabbi said it so that his words would be accepted. So I have this question, how does that work here with what we just explained, that almash loishama oimer loishamati, I never heard it from anybody, this is my own idea. Perhaps one could answer that this is just a plain question. It has no relevant application, but where it's necessary for people to accept what I am saying because of the necessity of the hour, and the only way they will accept it is if I will say it over in the name of a great rabbi, I have a permission to say it in the name of the great rabbi if the circumstances necessitate that, I do have permission to say it in somebody else's name so that it would be accepted if it's a circumstance where it has to be accepted. If it's just a question and answer that's not relevant, nageya halacha lemaisa, then I should say, I never heard, and this is my own opinion, it's not from any great posek that I am telling you this answer. And finally, Umoda al ha'emes, seeking the truth, he admits to the truth. And this we learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu in Vayikra, Perek Yud, Pasuk Chaf, Vayishma Moshe Vayitav Be'enav. Aaron explained to Moshe something in Halacha that Moshe had forgotten. Chazal say that Hoda V'loy Boish Loimer Loy Shamati. He admitted and he wasn't ashamed to say, I never heard this. Elo Omar, what did he say? The truth, Shamati, you're right. Now that you remind me, Aaron, I did learn this, Vishachachti, as the Gemara in Zvachim of Kuf Alephum and Beis tells us. I did hear it, I forgot. He says the truth, he's Mode Al Ha'emes. Vichilu Fe'en Begolam, the seven midos of a golem is just the opposite of each one of the milas of a chacham. He will speak in front of someone who's greater than him. He will interrupt someone else. He will be quick to give an answer and so forth. The Tveris Yisrael says, if you look at the Mishnah, you see it's going in a sequence. The first mila is that he's not going to speak in front of somebody that is greater than him. So he doesn't begin to speak. When his friend is speaking, the next stage is he doesn't interrupt his friend. When his friend has ended speaking, he doesn't reply quickly. He thinks over what his response should be. When he is then going to ask a question of his friend, he shoyel ke'inyan u'meshuv ka'alacha. When he is responding to several questions, he's going to respond in order. And he will not hesitate to say, I have not heard this from anyone else. And finally, if he finishes speaking and then his friend has a question against what he has said and proves him wrong, he will not try to find excuses and reasons, but he'll say the truth. And so we see, says the Tveris Yisrael, the entire Mishnah of the Shiva Dvarim B'Chacham is going in sequential order.